Good morning. I don't blame you if it sounds a little muted, recognizing that officially I am the only one allowed to take my mask off. So if you feel like when you come to church you'd really love to take your mask off, perfect solution. You can either be the worship leader or the preacher. Wonderful opportunity, and then you can come up here, breathe freely, and bring us the message you would like to bring. We are always open to suggestions. We are going to begin singing this morning. Our gathering song is number 189. To us, a child of hope is born. This morning, we are focusing on rejoicing on this road. So the songs that we sing, the scriptures that we hear, the words that we hear and think are focused around the rejoicing, even on this road that we continue to travel. And we recognize it's not all a bed of roses, but we'll get to that. To us, a child of hope is born. Please stand. We'll sing all three verses. Seated. And for those of you at home, please be seated wherever you are. I'm also welcoming those who are virtually with us. We have not forgotten that you are together with us, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And for those here, I hope you don't feel too distanced from your friends. I'm glad that you have chosen to come and worship here physically this morning. And hopefully with the good news of more vaccine and reduced numbers, maybe there will be a little relaxation of the numbers. I don't know, but that's part of my hope. It's not the hope that gathers us here, though. That is another kind of hope. Our hope that brought us here to this sanctuary is the hope that we just sang about. The description of that child, this child of hope, and the result of Christ coming to this earth to save us from all that we suffer in and with and against, to redeem us, to take us to himself. And the result is peace. And peace abound below. That is our hope, and in that we rejoice. Meanwhile, we are walking on this road. Our focus statement says, walking the road to revelation results in overwhelming joy. The waiting is over. Jesus has come. We rejoice in the incarnation, God in the flesh, God with us. This is where our true and deep and meaningful rejoicing comes from. Not from superficial events or feelings or other things. We'll get into that. I am sorry. I can't stop myself from moving right into the message. I've got things to say and things to share, and they're so meaningful. But I'll try and take it one step at a time. Sometimes, you know, they say a preacher is supposed to tell people right from the beginning what they are going to say. And then you tell people what you are saying. And then at the end, you tell people what you said. So you're basically saying it over three times. So if you find it too repetitive, just block out one or two of those times. You are all welcome here this morning, and I would like to read you a little poem, since I don't need to light the Advent candles. You see that all four of them there are lit, and the Christ candle is lit, recognizing that this process of waiting has come to completion. Some of us might say, no, the waiting is not over. And we're right, because we are still walking on this road. But the waiting for Christ's arrival, his first arrival, is over. Our journey continues, and this poem is called Toward the Light. Too often, our answer to the darkness is not running toward Bethlehem, but running away. We ought to know by now that we can't see where we're going in the dark. Running away is rampant. Separation is stylish. Separation from mates, from friends, from self. Run and tranquilize. Don't talk about it. Avoid. Run away and join the army of those who have already run away. When are we going to learn that Christmas peace comes only when we turn and face the darkness? Only then will we be able to see the light of the world. This is something that we, even we who come here to worship on a Sunday morning, need to be reminded of. To look into the darkness, and that is where we find the light of the world. Join with me in the call to worship that's written in our bulletins. It says leader and people, but I will join people with the people reading. It's adapted from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise the Lord, all God's angels. Praise the Lord, all God's host. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all you shining stars. Praise the Lord, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Praise the name of the Lord. God's glory is above earth and heaven. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. O radiant dawn, O dazzling star, in whom the shadows of night and the delights of day are one, comfort us in the dark, illuminate us with your love, bring your justice to birth. O King of the world, you call the nations to a peace which passes understanding. You who fashioned us from dust and clay, come and shape us into your holy likeness. O Emmanuel, God with us, bringer of joy and delight, come dwell with us soon. Save us, renew us, remake us according to your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our second song is Hymnal of Worship, book number 210, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. Again, there are only three verses, so we will sing all three. And stand, please. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you that this odd, unexpected way of salvation, you have opened the door, the way for us to come to you. In this we rejoice. Thank you. We praise you in wonder. We praise you in worship. And we bring ourselves humbly before you, recognizing we don't understand it all. We complain a lot. And what can we say? We're ashamed and we regret, and especially as we're reminded of the new year coming, we look back at all of the days of this previous year and we ask for your grace and we ask for your forgiveness on what we have done and left undone, the things that we've said, and when we have neglected to really demonstrate your love through our lives and our actions and our being. We simply come before you and we know that there is forgiveness. We know that there is everlasting love because this is who you are. And that is our hope. On that we rest. On that we are secure, even in the face of all of the insecurities that is the world and our lives and our future. We simply rest in you. Thank you for the good tidings that we have heard, for the well wishes, for the getting together that has been allowed, and for the memories of all those years past when we just took everything for granted. Now, although belatedly, we thank you. Thank you for all of those celebrations. But in this life, we ask for a greater sense of your companionship, so that as we're going day by day, doing our jobs, arguing with our family members, struggling through school and all sorts of other things, that you would be nearer than those circumstances that continue to crowd in around us. That in the midst of that, your light would still continue to shine. That this Christmas light, that this star of Bethlehem wouldn't be reserved for one day only or for one month only. That that star would be visible as we trek through our lives that sometimes feel like wilderness. Be our companion, we pray, we plead, and open our hearts even to that yearning, to that longing, to what we have forgotten, although we've tasted of your goodness, we've forgotten. We have lost that appetite, and we pray for your renewal. Bring us again nearer to you, to experience what life is like with you as we journey these days. We pray for the other churches in Swift Current, especially Restoration House, just around the corner here. We pray for Nutana Park in Saskatoon and their pastors. Guide them. Give them stability and insight and a vision for how to move forward. We pray for all of those struggling against COVID, whether they are patients or doctors or scientists, so many others. We pray for protection of our communities. Give us steadfastness and courage to continue to do what is helpful to ourselves and for our neighbors. And above all, we do pray for peace on earth. We pray for peace in our neighborhoods, amongst our neighbors, in our province, in our country, and around the world where there is so much a lack of peace. Even in this time of rejoicing, in this service of worship, of rejoicing, we bring to you all of those who are not able to rejoice, who are suffering, who are struggling, and we think of them with your heart of compassion. Just teach us how to be demonstrators and reflectors of your love and your light in our world. And with this in mind, we pray the prayer that you taught the disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And God bless the offering. Shake your head. This pastor of yours has a very short memory. When I just started praying, I thought, I'm going to pray for the offering first off so I don't forget it. And then I forgot. We have come to the scripture reading portion. If If you want to take your Bibles, I'm going to read from Isaiah 61. It looks like a long passage, but it's not really. Isaiah 61, verse 10, through to chapter 62, verse 3. Beginning with verse 10 of Isaiah 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. If that is not encouraging, then nothing is. All of these very strong and sure statements, you shall, all of these are truth. If you want more encouragement, read more of Isaiah. Even back up, look at verse 8. For I, the Lord, love justice. I will faithfully give them their recompense. I will. Oh, but this is not the text that I want to preach on. This was simply an extra. This is like a little appetizer for you. The main course is coming. So go back to this portion every once in a while. This picture really struck me when I first read it at the beginning of the week, especially verse 11. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and the garden causes what is sown in it to spring up. So whatever kind of seeds you put in the garden, those things are going to spring up. Here it says, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up. And I was thinking to myself this week, am I planting or allowing those seeds to be planted in me? For the kind of seeds that I allow to be planted in me, those are naturally the ones that will spring up. So I have to recognize and confess, weeds, 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 plenty of weeds, lots of dandelions. I confess that. I bring that to God. God, who is in the business of rehabilitation, will do the work of rehabilitation together with me in order to bring righteousness and praise. That's what God wants to plant. That's the planting of the Lord. Righteousness and praise. The text that I actually wanted to work with this morning is found in Luke. Luke chapter 2, of course. Verses 22 to 40. I think I'm going to read it through, because if I read it, then I have to say less about what it says. It can speak for itself. So if you like, turn to Luke chapter 2, and we'll read verse 22 to 40. So this is after Jesus was born. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph, by the way, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And that was a 6-mile journey. I looked it up. How far from Bethlehem, where he was born, to Jerusalem, where they went for this Sunday morning service? 6 miles with a new baby. So they went up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So if you'd like to look up where is that written in the law of the Lord, the text is in Leviticus chapter 12. You can look up the details of what was expected of them. Continuing with verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem, a random man somewhere in the city of Jerusalem, and his name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. This is before Pentecost, people. This is barely after Jesus was born, and Simeon already was experiencing the Holy Spirit resting on him. Can you imagine what that must have been like? The Holy Spirit rested on him. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. So he was getting revelations. Revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Verse 27, guided by the Spirit. What a gift! What an amazing gift for this random guy, Simeon, in Jerusalem, who was devout and looking forward to the consolation of Israel. This is where his mindset was. This is where his heart was. He was guided by the Spirit. Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, this is just regular rigmarole. Sometimes you might think, oh, why do I have to get up on a Sunday morning? I want to sleep in. I want to rest. I want to do other stuff. Why do I have to go to church? Why do I have to bring my offering? Or on a daily basis, why do I have to read my Bible? I know what my Bible says. I don't need to keep reading it through and through. It's tedious. But right here, this is what Mary and Joseph were doing. They were doing what was expected, what was asked, what was said. This is what you need to do. So they did it. Verse 28, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. There we have the rejoicing on this road. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Now I've seen the thing I have been longing all my life to see. Imagine living a life of that kind of longing. That's the person I want to be. Longing for those kinds of things. To have those kinds of seeds, the seeds of righteousness springing forth from inside of me. This is what God is bringing forth. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. Not just for insiders. For those of you thinking about the sign out there, Christmas is for outsiders. Christmas isn't just for people who come to church all the time or who know what it says in the book of Luke. It's for those who feel outside even of the love of a community. Those who feel their lives are not worthwhile. Those who regret what their lives have become and yet have no way of repairing it. This is why Christ came. Christ came as the salve, the balm of Gilead, that which heals. The healing that brings the ability to make choices in our lives. Back to verse 30. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said to them. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel." We talk about rejoicing on the road, but we are also realistic, recognizing it's not all fun and games. It's not all just wonderful. This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. The road of revelation. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. Where's the rejoicing on this road? And yet this is exactly what Simeon said. I have been waiting my whole life for this. Therefore, I rejoice. I can see realistically. I can see this pain. And in the face of this pain and torment, I can still rejoice because my soul is longing for the redemption of God's people. Verse 36, there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. This is significant, that she is not just some random woman. She is named, which was very distinctive. They didn't pay that much attention to women in those days. She is named. She is the daughter of someone. There's his name. And the tribe of Asher, she was of a great age, a great, wonderful age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. That's a very short marriage. So she had many years to become bitter and annoyed and feel sorry that her life wasn't what she wanted it to be. But that wasn't the direction that she decided to live her life. Having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, verse 37, then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. Prayer and fasting night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God. And to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. For all who were looking for this, longing for this, waiting for this. They had not yet given up. They had not become so consumed in their circumstances that they had no hope left in God or God's promises. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The child, Jesus. There we have the story for today. There we have the capsule of rejoicing on this road. And our question might be, what is there to rejoice about? Because we're in the middle of a pandemic, we haven't been able to see our family and friends, we haven't been able to do all the things that make us rejoice. We are like that little town in that silly show called The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. All of you know about it or have watched it or traditionally watch it each year. The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. The Government Who Stole Christmas. It should be called The Grinch Who Could Not Steal Christmas. It's impossible to steal Christmas. And in that silly little show, we know that he tried to take all those things away, took the gifts, took the turkey, took all the decorations, took everything, and yet those people, what did they do? They insisted on singing and celebrating Christmas. Impossible! The Grinch who couldn't steal Christmas. So we have to think about Christmas differently. We have to have a broader vision. We have to follow the example of Simeon and Anna, both of them named here after Jesus' birth. That's a hard act to follow. Jesus is born, King of the Earth, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. All of these titles, the world is changing. And then, oh, by the way, there's Simeon and there's Anna yet too. This is significant here because there is the event of Christmas. And then there are those who respond to the gift. This is not just another birthday. If we think about Christmas as just another birthday and celebrate it the way we celebrate our own birthdays, I know what you do. You think, well, this is my special day, this is my birthday, and yet you want to keep it quiet because you don't want everybody to know how old you've gotten. Isn't that right? I know I do that too. It's only maybe up till the age of 16 that we're proud of the age we're attaining, and then all of a sudden we want to hide it, and we don't want to celebrate it that way anymore. Because we're not celebrating the reality of what life is. So what's there to rejoice about on this, on the road of rejoicing, when we've looked at the whole Advent series, we've seen readiness, we've seen repentance, restoration, and then revelation, and we have all of those elements right here, again, in this little story. That's just for your reminder. I would like to bring us back down to earth and look at our experiences of Christmas, our celebrations of Christmas, and then perhaps find some seeds of true rejoicing that insist on growing again and coming out. And maybe that is what we can shine on to our communities and in our neighborhoods that so desperately need to hear, to see, to know the light and the love of God. I was born in a time when we had television already. And so when there was television, then there were commercials. And when there are commercials, there are toys that are advertised at Christmas. Is this not true? Now more than ever, the commercials on TV show these amazing things that toys can do and how beautiful they are and how big and strong and all of this. And we'd see it on TV and we would want those things for Christmas. And my parents, they were rugged realists, and they would say, oh, that's just a piece of garbage. And it's like, no, it's not. It's beautiful. It's glorious. Look what it can do. And yet, when you get it in the box, which I never did, by the way, you get this little piece of plastic junk. You put it together. You play with it. It doesn't even work. None of it looks the way it looked on TV. The thing that was for sale was not at all the thing that you would actually bring into your home. So let's think about Christmas in this similar fashion. The toys I wanted for Christmas, as opposed to the things that my parents or God actually wants to bless us with. God knows what is good for our lives, what will actually bring rejoicing. If we could just trust him enough. I didn't trust my parents, no way. There's no way. I trusted the television way more than I trusted my parents. I could see with my own eyes that those toys were spectacular. And look at all those kids on the TV that were enjoying it. See? As I grew up, I realized, I learned to recognize falseness, fake things, things that do not satisfy. And so I want to grow up together with Simeon and together with Anna, follow their example. Follow the example even that Mary and Joseph were following. You see, this whole package is encapsulated in their doing what was required by the law. At the beginning, they were doing what was required by the law. At the end, when everything that was required by the law was completed. There's something there. If I am truly longing to be one of those looking forward to the redemption of Israel, looking forward to the redemption of God's people, even here in Swift Current, if I look at the neighbors around here who do not yet know the hope of Jesus Christ, how do I prepare for that kind of rejoicing? How, first of all, do I experience it? Number one, I have to recognize that a lot of my own restriction is caused by my own fear. Fear is the barrier that keeps me from actually experiencing and expressing the rejoicing that comes when we know Jesus, that we experience Jesus in our lives. Light of the world. Fear. Fear caused by sin, for sure. Right from Genesis. As soon as Adam and Eve were sinning, what did they do? They ran and they hid. Of course, we hide. That is in our DNA. We have to recognize that. Sin will cause us to hide. But there's more. What else are we afraid of? Everyone who had experienced this revelation, I have a whole list of those. Let's see. There's Zechariah. He experienced a revelation. Elizabeth experienced the revelation. The people waiting for Zechariah to come out of the temple experienced it. Mary experienced it. Mary's neighbors, the shepherds, all of these people were graced with a revelation, a demonstration. And what was the first word that came to them? Two words, actually. Fear not. Fear not. That's the very first message. The first message is, this is nothing to be afraid of. Don't be afraid. Well, we're afraid because when that light is beaming on us, it's exposing who we are. We're afraid of so many things. We're afraid of each other. We're afraid of the judgment. We're afraid of somebody. Why are you looking at me that way? We're afraid that our lives won't be as fulfilling as we want them to. We won't accomplish what we want to accomplish. We're afraid of dying. We're afraid of pain. I could stand here until the end of my life saying all of the things that we're afraid of. Fear is what marks us. And the revelation, and half of the enjoyment, is that fear is cast out. Fear not. Fear not. Imagine a life without fear. Can you imagine it? I can't. But imagine how wonderful that would be. You would be like a child that just enjoys life, knowing your loving Heavenly Father is looking down on you and saying, oh, good job. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If fear is cast out, 1 John chapter 4 talks a lot about fear, and perfect love does cast out that fear. Perfect love. After we've been told, fear not, then the message of salvation is brought forward. And Simeon said, I've been waiting for this salvation, for this salve, for this vaccine that will save us from death. We've become so used to being vaccinated from death, we don't even rejoice in it anymore. We've forgotten how to rejoice in that. There's so much here that I could talk about. Let's just look at Luke 1 for a little bit, as a little reminder. Luke 1, verse 30 to 33. This is a brief reminder of what this means, that Christ has been born. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. Now you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son and name him Jesus." Jesus means he saves. He saves. Not he condemns, not he judges. He saves. Verse 32, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Let that soak in. We know someone who doesn't want to let go of power right now, who is using all of his earthly power to do all that he can and disturb good citizens. When you get tied up in knots, knowing what's happening in the world, the reality of what is happening in the world, the injustice, go back to this. Recognize Jesus is given the throne of the Lord God. He will reign. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. If you need more words of reassurance, listen to the song of Mary. Listen to the song of Zechariah that begins in verse 67. Those words of reassurance remind us of what a glorious thing this salvation is that we have experienced. And the result for those who are waiting and looking and longing, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, what happens? They will be filled. They will be filled. If we're not looking and hungering for righteousness, we're not going to be filled. We are like the children longing for those cheap plastic toys. But if we follow the example of Simeon and Anna, looking and longing for the redemption of Israel, then we will be filled. And it will result in praise. That's exactly what happened here. Immediately, Simeon grabbed that baby and started praising God. Now I can go home. Now I am ready. I have seen the thing I've been waiting for. God keeps God's promises. God keeps the promises that God makes. This is amazing. We live in a time when nobody keeps their promises. When our leaders don't do the things they say they're going to do. We can't trust anyone. I have a whole list of names here. I don't even want to waste time naming them. But there's so much disappointment around us because our leaders, the ones we look to as examples, they don't do the things they say they're going to do. We need to be focusing on this babe, this salvation. God does what God promises. God can be trusted. And then the result, when we're focused on that, the result then is rejoicing. Simeon rejoiced, Anna rejoiced, and they shared their story with those around them who were also waiting to rejoice. The shepherds, we know what the shepherds did. The shepherds went, the shepherds saw, and then what did the shepherds do? They returned home rejoicing. This needs to be in our DNA. This is what needs to be in the seeds that are springing up from within us. Then our lives will be marked with the rejoicing. In the face of the pandemic, in the face of old age and aches and pains, in the face of trials with family and friends, in the face of all sorts of disappointment, because our focus and our longing and our waiting and our whole being, just like Isaiah said, I will exult in the Lord God. That's what I want for Christmas, the true quality gift. And in the end, then, the result is peace. You might have a different kind of rejoicing. You might not be rejoicing the way you see me rejoicing. I'm not trying to make you like that kind of rah-rah. No, rejoice in your own way. And the deep underlying result is peace. The underlying result is peace. Look at verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14. This is what the angel said. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors. Then look at verse 29. In Simeon's song, Simeon says, Master, now you're dismissing your servant in peace. In peace. Do you lack peace in your life? Then we've got to go back. What is it that we're longing for? What is it that we're waiting for? What is it we're looking for? God promises peace. Peace on whom his favor rests. Nothing can ruin Christmas. Amen. In response, let's sing number 212. O come all ye faithful. I think we'll sing verse 1 and verse 3. Verse 1 and verse 3. Please rise. Bow for the benediction. People of God, people on the road, go forth rejoicing, for like Anna and Simeon, our eyes have seen the salvation of God. Amen.